From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. Alex Chadwick is on assignment. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, we'll talk about the race for the Democratic nomination for president. Former Vermont Governor Howard Dean says he will not take federal matching funds, and there's a shakeup in the John Kerry campaign. But first, the Supreme Court today decided to wade into the debate over enemy combatants. The court will consider whether the Bush administration's decision to hold alleged al-Qaeda members without trial at the Guantanamo prison camp is constitutional. And joining us now is Slate's legal analyst, Dahlia Lithwick. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Madeline.
Dahlia, first off, what cases exactly did the High Court agree to hear?
Well, they agreed to consolidate two different cases that have been bubbling up from the appellate courts. One is called Rasool and one is called Oda. And they are the cases that are actually brought by the families of detainees from Australia, Britain, and Kuwait who have been held in Guantanamo without any sort of due process.
And what are they arguing, and why does the government say they should not have access to U.S. courts?
Well, essentially what they're arguing and what the courts of appeals have rejected is that they cannot be held indefinitely, it's now been 2 years almost, on Guantanamo without any sort of legal due process, without the opportunity to challenge their detention. So what they filed was a habeas corpus petition, a petition that says, make the court tell me why I have to be held here. And the lower court and then the D.C. Court of Appeals have said, no, we don't have jurisdiction to even hear this case because you're not in the United States and you're not a U.S. citizen. The court sort of turns on a little bit of a sleight of hand, which is that Guantanamo is not officially possessed by the United States. We've been leasing it for years and years. And so the courts are able to say, hey, this isn't U.S. territory, even though the U.S. is obviously operating the detention camp there.
Now, the Bush administration is relying in its argument on a 1950 case that arose out of World War II. What's that about?
Well, the case is actually quite parallel. What happened is that 21 German nationals were being held in a prison in China, and they similarly sought habeas corpus review in the United States, essentially asked the United States courts to tell them why they had to be held there, why they were not having due process. In that case, in 1950, the Supreme Court held that the privilege to go through the habeas process did not extend, quote, to German prisoners. They felt that because these people had never been in the United States, they weren't American citizens, they were being held elsewhere, and also because the trial would hamper the war effort or hamper the effort to protect U.S. soil, that these people simply did not have a right to appeal to the U.S. courts. That is the legal authority on which the Bush administration is relying. That's the legal authority on which the Court of Appeals has so far refused to grant these petitioners' appeal.
And have the justices given any indication of how they may rule on this?
Well, this is really going to be the first 9/11 case that's directly in front of the court. The court has certainly spoken in the last several years in more general ways about how they feel about the war on terror, but this really will be the first direct appeal. And I should say that this is a court that has been quite deferential to the Bush administration. There's a feeling, I think, that the moderate justices will tend to side with the administration and say essentially, look, due process is one thing, and we understand that, but this war on terror is simply too important, too urgent, and will tend to defer to the administration. So it's hard to know which way they're going to go, but I think the general feeling is that they will defer to the Bush administration's position that it's just simply too dangerous in wartime to be having open trials for terrorists.
Slate's legal analyst, Dahlia Lithwick, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.